Welcome to the Ultrarunner Magazine podcast. Thanks for joining us. Today we're going to be joined by Chris and Kieran from Limb Runners, race directors for the Warrington Way 40-mile ultramarathon. We'll be discussing the history of the race, the passion for trail running that was behind the setup, the mindset that's needed, and why runners take on the race. We also discuss the incredible ultrarunning community, the growth of the sport, and what the race means to Limb as a village.
Now, the Warrington Way has just taken place, and we'd love to hear a little bit more about the race itself. So, Kieran, can you tell us a bit about the history of the Warrington Way 40-mile event?
Oh, yeah, sure. So we set up the Warrington Way about 8 or 9 years ago, and it really came out of me getting into ultra running, and I did the Round Rotherham 50, which I'm sure you'll know, Wayne, a couple of times. Fantastic 50-mile race. A club race run by Rotherham Harriers. They used to charge like 12 quid to enter, and you got a meal at the end, a pie, and so on. And I just thought, at that time, there were very few ultras in the Northwest, and I thought we ought to have something like that. So I got into trying to work out a 40-mile route around Warrington, and then we ran it. I ran it a few times myself, and then we ran it as a club event. And I think it was in 2014 or 15 that we ran it for the first time as a proper event with a limited number, only 100 entrants. And it's kind of gone from there.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite interesting how people kind of select a route as well. I guess really you must be you're obviously local to Warrington, but you must have quite good knowledge of the area. Is there anything in particular that kind of made you select the route that you chose?
So working out the route was really interesting because, you know, Warrington's a bit like Rotherham. It's an industrial town with, you know, a lot of, you know, industrial history. So it's got canals and it's got railways and it's got all sorts of things like that. But it's also got, you know, really lovely green areas, reservoirs, hills and so on. And so finding a route that sort of worked around the fact that Warrington's got 3 motorways, 2 main railway lines, the Ship Canal, the Bridgewater Canal, the Mersey and all of those, and yet managing to, you know, find a really nice way through all of that was part of the joy of it, actually. And also getting it to be exactly 40 miles an hour, 40 miles, which is more of a challenge than I imagined it was at the beginning.
I guess on a logistics side of things as well, you know, when people are quite new to a new race, it's the maps and behind the scenes. What people don't see is all of the things that go on behind closed doors, if you like. So who's kind of basically involved? It's Limb Runners, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very much a team from Limb Runners. Like Kieran says, you know, Kieran and myself kind of drive that forward from year to year. But when it comes down to the actual race day itself, we have a really brilliant administrator on board right from day one as well in Tom. But when it comes down to race week, there's a big group of 40 to 50 volunteers that all pitch in. They all have their own roles. Everybody steps up, and it's such a buzz within the club that everybody gets involved. So it's not just down to the three of us, you know, from a year-to-year basis, but it becomes part of the club. Yeah. And people have done it from year one within the club, you know, manning the aid stations, coming out and cooking for us at HQ, looking after everybody on the route, mop-up vehicle. You know, Chris and Bradley have been involved since day one as well within that role. So everybody comes together every year, and it's just a great atmosphere on race day, you know, within the club, let alone the athletes.
Yeah, something very, very special for... Yeah, very special for Limb, I guess, as well. Yeah, something which I guess there's not many events like that that literally start and finish in the village.
No, you're right, really. You know, on the day we've kind of seen the village come out as well to some degree, and it does get slightly bigger each year. You know, there's more people around the village, there's more of a buzz in the village. You know, and it's we've yet to do any kind of research into it. We must bring in quite a bit of business actually into the village on the race day itself. You know, people hang around, the supporters go into the cafes and go and have a coffee, and some stay around for a meal and that sort of thing. So it's beginning to get a buzz, certainly within the college, within the village, certainly.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's also really created some lovely links into other clubs around the Northwest. So, you know, this year we had a big presence from Wigan Harriers, who came determined to break the record for the relay teams, and indeed they did. They got both first and second relay team. We've had great input from Helmsby. We've had loads of people in from Spectrum Striders and from all sorts of other running clubs. And that's one of the really nice things about it, that it's a club event and there are club runners there, but there's also lots of people who aren't in a club. And you mentioned earlier, Wayne, the relays. So we really designed this to be a kind of entry ultra runner event. So people could do the 40 miles if they wanted to, but they could do just 20 miles in a pair. Or they could do 10 miles in a relay team. What we've seen over the years is a lot of people come in, do the relay, go, all right, that was great, I'll step up to the pair.
Absolutely.
And then do the pair, and then step up and do the 40 miles. Yeah. And quite a few of them have then gone on to do other stuff like Lakeland 50, Lakeland 100, the Chester 100, and all sorts of things. And we've just you know, seen that as fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you say, you know, not everybody's going to go straight into an ultra marathon, a 40 mile, whereas if they can do half or they can do a 10 mile section of it, it's very, very kind of like, you know, it's less daunting, isn't it? And, you know, they can learn slowly rather than in one go. So it's fantastic to see that. And very, very kind of unique to you guys in the region anyway, that I'm aware of. So really good to see that. In terms of the checkpoints, how many checkpoints are there and whereabouts are they based?
So we have a checkpoint at 10 miles, 20 miles and 30 miles, and then obviously at the finish. Yeah. So there's a checkpoint at 10 miles in Halton Green, which is north side of Warrington, then checkpoint at 20 in Penketh, which is on the west side, checkpoint at 30 in Hatton, which is on the south side, and then the finish back in Lym. So we've had, and some ultras would have shorter stages than that, and we ummed and ahed about that, but we've gone for, you know, essentially 10-mile stages, which works really well with that relay model as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a nice breakdown, isn't it? And the weather on the day, what was it? I guess it's sometimes a bit testing, being the time of the year, but what was it like this time round?
Chris, do you want to do the meteorological report?
Meteorological report. Well, this year was certainly the best year it's ever been in terms of stability and dryness underfoot as well. You know, the race is... it has a certain reputation in places, shall we say, for needing slurry water and fields. In previous years, this year was the best it's ever been in terms of underfoot. But it was a perfect temperature this year. But some of the previous years, we've had great fun in terms of the weather. Running in epic weather conditions, including the start line one year. I forget which year it was, but Pepper Street was a river. So all the athletes were stood literally in a river, ankle deep, waiting on the start line. It was raining that heavy. It was just sheeting down the hill. But yeah, we've had some great years in terms of weather. But in terms of kind of best years for running, 2022 was definitely the best one so far.
I actually think
a lot of the runners prefer it when there's a bit of adverse weather. They actually quite like the mud in a strange way.
There's definitely those that kind of dodge the puddles though, and those that kind of run through the puddles. So it's one of them where when it's that wet, there's just no avoiding it, is there? You know, so it's nice to it's nice to have had, I guess, a bit more of a better year this year for you, because obviously, you know, it's better from an organizer's point of view as well, because it's safer. You know, there's less chance of, you know, of people getting cold and such. You know, so it's always nice to have that sometimes. So in terms of the mindset, what do you think makes people go and step up to, you know, the ultramarathons? What would you say kind of brings them into that kind of event?
I might start and then Chris might want to come in, but I think, I don't know what you think, Wayne. I think over the last 10 years, a lot of people who would never have thought of doing an ultra have stepped up to an ultra, and events like ours have been part of helping them to do that. So yeah. I can think of runners in Lim in our club who would never have done an ultra 8 or 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And they've kind of done this event and then they've gone on to do other things. And some of them have really, you know, stepped up to kind of 100 milers and so on. And I think it's part of the really nice growth of ultra running and the recognition that you don't have to be some kind of a, you know, wacky, incredible athlete to be an ultra runner. You
Anybody
can be a completely yeah. normal person, and it's lovely because actually it's not about, you know, pace and speed and everything. It's about being out there in fantastic countryside, having a wonderful time, meeting loads of people, eating quite a lot along the way, and finishing, you know. Yeah. And I think that's been one of the delights of running the event, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And from yourself, Chris?
Yeah, very much. I'd echo that, really, because it becomes a completely different mindset, doesn't it, ultra running? Because, you know, most people, certainly in our club, marathon has become, it's all road running for one thing.
Yeah.
You know, most marathons are kind of based on the road. Ultras tend to be off-road. Primarily, so it becomes a different way of running. You don't have that kind of marathon PB mentality with ultra running, do you? Because every time you do the same race, conditions are different, so yeah. time is almost becomes irrelevant to some degree. So it's a completely different experience of running longer than it is, dare I say, shorter.
Yeah.
Within the marathons. Yeah. So it's a completely different mindset. And I think the image of ultra running has vastly improved. Like Kieran says, you know, you're not some strange tree hugger anymore within the ultra community.
No, yeah, I understand. And I think what really kind of separates the road running from the ultra running is the community. What would you say on that?
Yeah, very, very much so. It's just a completely different vibe, isn't it? Before and after, pre-race start and post-race finish is just a completely different vibe to marathon running.
Yeah.
What do you say, Kieran?
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, I don't do personally. I don't do a lot of road running anymore. I certainly don't do kind of really big road events. Because I like being, you know, out in the countryside. I like being in smaller events. I like club events where there's a real community vibe.
Yeah.
And so the ultra running community has just been a lovely natural home for me. And I don't think you have to do huge distances. You know, there's just so many 40 and 50 mile races out there now that you can do, and all sorts of terrain and so on. And then if you want to, you can step up. And I always encourage people to do 100 milers because it's a step to doing running overnight, which is a big thing. And I just think it's all about, you know, working out what your boundaries are. And for someone like me, I know I'm never going to get any faster as a runner. So it's finding different things that I can do in running. And ultra running has been great for that.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of this year's events, how many people took part, if you don't mind me asking, in terms of the Warrington Way?
We were completely full, 300 took part, and that's including solos, but also teams and pairs.
Yeah.
And we had some fantastic performances. The record, which is still held by Charlie Sharp, a 4:52, that wasn't threatened. But we did have a new record for the relay team. They came in at, I think, 4:23, which broke the record by about 20 minutes.
And was that an all-male one, or was that?
Yeah, it was. That Wigan Harriers had decided they'd come and they would see and they would conquer, and indeed they did. They came with the intention of breaking the record, and they did a very good job.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. And a local, very, very local club, which is fantastic. Yeah. In terms of the winners for the solos, the male and a female, do you have those to hand?
Funnily enough, I do. So the first male was Jack Antrobus, who was in I've got to do the sums now, 5 hours 20. And the first female was Claire Farrell, who was in 6 hours 26. I think I've got that sum right.
That's amazing.
I'm just doing it on the fly. But it was lovely. We will post some pictures of the finish, because obviously we have kind of, you know, a finisher's podium and so on. But it's not just about that. I mean, actually, we were there till, you know, late into the evening, seeing runners coming in who've done it in 10 hours or whatever. And they're all, frankly, they're all winners, Wayne.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Just being on the start line and taking on something like that alone is exactly that, you know, very much stepping into the unknown, isn't it? You know, coming into Lym, do you think that it is that there's something special about running into Lym for the runners coming home, as it were, and the finish?
Yeah, what do you think, Chris?
Yeah, well, it's alongside Lym Dam, isn't it? You know, the finish, when you actually pop out of Lym Dam, you're less than half a mile from the finish, and even then, it takes you alongside the Slitton Brook, and you actually pop out right in the centre of the village. I mean, it's just a short hop past the cross and up to the finish line, although the finish line does finish on a hill, which is lovely. I think it's a lovely way to finish. But the run, you know, alongside Lym Dam, you know, very lucky and very fortunate to live in such a place, but the race actually kind of finishes alongside it effectively. So it's a great finish after all the mud of leg four, which is synonymous with leg four, then to finish it off through the dam, it's great.
Yeah, it's a lovely section from Lym Dam up to the finish there. I agree with you there. What's your thoughts on that, Kieran?
Oh, absolutely. And what we do every year is we like put balloons out in the village and we publicise it in the village. And I think you get a lot of support there. So there's loads of, you know, either relay team members, but actually just, you know, partners and so on who are coming to pick up runners at the end who turn up. And so the village is full of people and go, you know, as you're coming in through Lym Dam and along the footpath and then over the lower dam and past the cross, there's loads of people cheering you on and so on. That's really nice.
Yeah, very, very special. Very, very special. Yeah. It sounds amazing. Well, I mean, from our side of things, we really appreciate your time and sharing the Warrington Way with ourselves. For those people who want to find out more, where could they find more details about the Warrington Way?
Well, you just have to go to www.limrunners.org.uk/Warrington-Way, or frankly, just Google Warrington Way, because we're now the top hit if you Google that. And entries will open on the 1st of May 2023 at 9 a.m. And the event next year is on Saturday, the 11th of November,
fantastic,
starting at 7:30 in the morning. Now, just a word of warning, this year, it filled up. The entries are done on Nifty, who are just brilliant. It filled up in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So if you want to get a place, you need to be on there on the 1st of May at 9 a.m.
Really, really quick. Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I did notice is that you guys also raised some money for charities Ukraine by selling some of the older T-shirts. Is that correct?
That's right. I'll pick this one up. So you know, we've had a whole bunch of families from Ukraine moving into Lym with host families, and there's been loads of work to support them in the community. And it's just been lovely, actually, the way the community's responded to help these families who are coming from some pretty, you know, terrible places in Ukraine, driven out because of the war. And so we have a local Ukraine hub, and we decided we'd just put all our own T-shirts on sale and say, you know, give us some money, make a donation and so on. And we raised over £200, which goes to the Amazing. Ukraine appeal, which was just lovely.
Amazing, absolutely amazing. Well, well done to everybody who was involved in that, and for the idea itself. Anything that's supporting other people is just just incredible, really. Well done to each and every one of you. One last thing I haven't asked is in terms of when people cross the line, did they get a medal, that kind of thing?
Chris,
yeah, everyone gets a meal. In headquarters, usually chili and couscous has been our standard over the years, so that's all part and parcel. But everybody gets a nice bespoke medal also, which is a nice wooden sustainable medal these days. We do T-shirts, but the way that we do those now is simply because we've had a surplus of T-shirts, which is why we managed to raise all the money this year. We take a different approach now because of the sustainability. So that's all individually ordered. So people will actually order those as part of their entry fee. So we only produce the number of T-shirts that we need to at the end of the day, and that saves any surplus.
Very, very right.
Is a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Good thing to do these days.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very right and on point. And some great features there. So a wooden medal, so sustainability there, and also it's optional in terms of the race tech tee.
His T-shirt, yeah.
Fantastic. Anything that you guys would like to add for the listeners?
I think I'll add one more thing, actually, Wayne. In terms of entries, 1st of May, 9 o'clock, like Kieran says, if you do happen to miss out, because it is such a short window to actually get into the race within the first 15 minutes or so, is to put your name on the waiting list, because we do go through the waiting list over the course of the months. We tend to get through the waiting list we certainly did do last year. I don't think we did quite this year, but we certainly did last year. So people drop out because of injuries and all the things that crop up. There's lots of notices goes onto the Facebook group that we have to say, you know, release your place if you can't make it. So that waiting list does get churned through quite quickly at times, especially when we start reminding people and deadlines of changing places and swapping places loom. So just like to say, if you do miss out initially, get your name on the waiting list, because chances are, you'll get a place.
That is really incredible that you guys go into so much detail and really make sure that, you know, every one of the 300 places is taken up by somebody that can actually make it to the event. So that's really fantastic to hear about. Guys, thanks so much for your time tonight. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant to touch base with you and find out about this event. One thing, if people aren't necessarily into the running, but saw the event for the first time and thought, you know, maybe I'll head over to Limb Runners. Beginners are welcome for Limb Runners. What kind of do you have, like sessions on certain days of the week?
Funnily enough, we do. Chris, over to you.
Yeah. Funny you should say that, Wayne. We run a beginner's course, actually, for complete and utter beginners every January. That starts January the 10th, and that's actually open for entries now, effectively.
Fantastic.
It's completely free. We just ask people to join the club, effectively. So they become a member, but the course is free. And that runs right through to first full week in March.
Yeah.
Next year, kind of leading up to the Hailey 10K, which is another one of our races.
Yeah.
But we do that every year. But it has been the ethos of the club since we started in 2010, is that everybody's welcome.
Yeah.
So we try and kind of offers something for all standards of runners, you know, whether you are just a 5K, 10K athlete, or whether you run for fitness or for leisure or for social, or if you're very serious in gaining PBs all the time, or running hundreds of miles like Kieran does on a fairly regular basis. You know, all runners, and that's what we try and do within the club. That's his ethos anyway.
Yeah. Absolutely. Everybody is welcome.